Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pod save the king!
Hello and welcome back to Pod Save the King. I'm your host, Anne Ripper, and it's lovely to have Russell Myers back with us, Royal Editor at the Daily Mirror and dad to a new lovely little baby to go to with the previous lovely little baby. So it was not so little anymore, but massive congratulations, Russell, and great to have you back.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be back. Thank you for all the well wishes. Lovely trip with Mr. Vogler in Kenya. Hope people have managed to tune into the last episode because it was a good one. And I think that after we've come back and you get to sort of the dust has settled, I suppose, on the Kenya trip, kind of thinking about what was within the tour. Big speeches, obviously, from Charles. What does it mean moving forward? I think one of the main themes is whether we're going to like be on this sort of apology tour around the world of the British royal family and the British government as well, because certainly the speech at the state banquet from Charles is pretty much from the heart. He's really trying to right the wrongs of the past. And if you're going along that path, it's a pretty long one, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of. In the olden days, there was a lot of the map that was pink, and it didn't get pink without some bad things happening, or, you know, it being slightly difficult when they stopped being pink and went independent. How was the final day in Kenya? Because that was, we didn't catch up with that with you and Ian, and it sounded like there were going to be some interesting visits that you had in that just last day, faith-related visits generally.
Yeah, there was. I mean, again, sort of your all-encompassing bringing communities together, multi-faith. As I said before, a lot of this may seem like box ticking sometimes of royal tours or royal engagements, but I think there's a lot of safety in the communities that they are exploring. And that is definitely the interfaith aspect of the trips. Camilla going to a domestic violence charity where she had a great time. She was welcomed with open arms. She was dancing and singing with the women who were involved in the charity. It was absolutely lashing down on the last day. I mean, everybody was soaked to the bone, but it was so humid in Kenya. It really had sort of a mix of we were in the air for a week, but it was a real mixed bag. But I think ultimately, when you're looking at whether it was success or not, depends what side of the coin you're on. Because certainly, some people I spoke to in Kenya, and I pull it back again to the Wales's Caribbean tour. You're going to please some people and not the others. The British government are going to think it was a job well done. Certainly his speech was very punchy, but then sort of contrasted with President Ruto's, who was really going for the jugular, talking about the monstrous aspects of British colonial rule. But where does Charles sit on it? And I think I can safely say from, you know, speaking to him and speaking to his team and members of the British government who were there at the time, that he was as far as he can go. And certainly, you know, talking about what he sees his reign to be, he definitely wants to try and leave the world a better place from when he took over. And his reign, he's got a short run of it, hasn't he, in terms of his mother's record-breaking time in the chair. But it's definitely been positive, I think, because next year is going to be massive. You know, talk of trips to Canada, Australia, no doubt will be back in Africa at some stage. Whether he then goes to the Caribbean, some members of the royal family will definitely have to go. There'll be the political aspects still prevalent in that part of the world. And then you've got the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting in Samoa. No doubt he'll be going to New Zealand as well as part of that Australasia tour next autumn. So there is an awful lot happening. And then, I mean, we were just talking about King Charles's Mansion House speech that he gave back in October, I think it was. And the part that really stood out to me was when he was describing the United Kingdom as a community of communities, an island nation in which our shared values are the force which holds us together. And that is what he is trying to transcend through his work, not only in the UK, but abroad with the Commonwealth. And certainly the backdrop of not only Ukraine, but now we've got the Israel-Gaza conflict and everything that is happening in there. And I think that Charles will really want to support those communities moving forward.
I'll come back to revisit the Mansion House speech in a little bit, because it's a really good one to reflect on, and it happened while you were off, and I'd be keen to talk about it a little bit more. But first of all, we want to talk about the other king's speech, well, the same king, but a different speech, the big one, all dressed up, another outing for the state robes from the coronation. Camilla gave her dress another outing. I wasn't expecting to see the coronation dress again quite so soon, but it's very practical to just wear that when you know it fits.
Recycled. Sustainability.
The little dogs are still there. The embroidery is still there. It's like, I'm sure that looks like it's the same one. Yes, the dog is there. That's definitely the same one. And wearing headpiece worn so often by the Queen, and on our banknotes, in fact. So a particular one. But it's a strange thing, the King's speech, isn't it? Because he has to sit there and read the words that whichever the government is has written for him. And
But he probably doesn't necessarily believe. I can't imagine he believes that opening up new oil fields is going to move us to net zero or whatever the line was. But you can almost see I'm dying inside having to read that, because this is the Green King, the man of sustainability, talking about, you know, reusing, recycling. And we flew on the RAF Voyager to Kenya using 40% sustainable fuel. And he's trying to do his bit wherever he can and then deliver legislation for a government that really is rowing back on this. And certainly Rishi Sunak rowing back on a lot of our green credentials, extending the timelines of when we will try and be net zero is probably really at odds with King Charles's mantra. So one does feel sorry for him a little bit. However, I can't imagine this government's going to be in the seat for too much longer. So we will just have to see what happens in the next King's speech. Hopefully, it will be a lot more positive. But as you said, it's a difficult position. But I picked out the part of his very first line, actually, which was harking back to paying tribute to the legacy of service and devotion of his late mother, of course, Queen Elizabeth II, and certainly talking about moving forward with his reign, but also being, I suppose, giving a nod to the past.
And with in terms of the sort of pomp and circumstance of the sort of state opening of Parliament in the King's speech yesterday, what did you make of all of that? I guess it's quite familiar now.
I tell you what I liked, because I'm not just blowing my own trumpet, because it wasn't exclusive for the Mirror, but when I discovered that Princess Anne was going to be part of the procession, and not just part of the procession, but handed a lead role as she was during the coronation, of course, retaking on her role as gold stick in waiting, the king's or the monarch's official bodyguard, but not only just following him in the procession, but also going into the chamber with him. And this is a role she'd performed several times for her mother. But I think it was a bit of a hoo-ha with one of my followers on Twitter saying that she was there during the 90s, but she definitely hadn't. I thought it was nearer the 80s, but she hadn't been there for an awful long time. And it was something that Charles, there's a phrase used to me many, many times, as trusted lieutenant, that he really relies on her for advice and counsel. And I think certainly with everything else going on, that is something that the king really does need in these sort of pressing moments, with seems to be fighting fires all over the place, doesn't he? And I'm sure Anne is a steady hand and a steady mind at helping him out.
Obviously it wasn't his words yesterday, but the Mansion House speech did feel much more that was the King's speech and his opportunity to reflect on his country, I guess, that he'd taken over, not quite the right words, but, you know, of which he is now the head, and what it means to him and how he sees it. And you talked about the community of communities line and him using the bit that struck me in that bit was talking about there's far, far more that unites us than divides us, which is something that has become such a phrase since the murder of the MP Joe Cox a few years ago, and it, that sort of feeling of togetherness and emphasising that we may disagree on things, but actually underneath it all, there is more that unites us than divides us. And, you know, there's a lot of divisive stuff coming out from this current government. So it was quite interesting reading the Mansion House speech back today after sort of him having to be the mouthpiece for this current government yesterday. He also flagged us the two big challenges, or in some cases opportunities maybe, or, you know, the big questions in some ways for our age of AI and climate change, which he described as the greatest battle of all. And then I like that he'd got these sort of identified five different, he called them wells, I think, generally the things that make up Britain or the United Kingdom, and that we draw from and give us our character, I guess, the civility and tolerance, the breathing space we afford one another, leaving us able to think and speak freely. And he talked in that bit as well about having invited people or leaders of a variety of faiths to Buckingham Palace almost, you know, very soon after becoming king, and how much representing, you know, we talked for years beforehand about would he be the defender of the faiths. So I guess in action, he did that. Then his third word was duty of care we feel for others in sickness or misfortune, which I guess to a certain extent comes through with the royal family's support of the various charitable initiatives that they lend their time and energy and faces to. And then he picked up on science, innovation and scholarship. And then I particularly liked number five, because I think this is something that we do pride ourselves on. In Britain, we like to think that we have a very good sense of humour. And he talked about the cherished well from which the sound of laughter can be heard, the healing well filled with a sense of humour laced with an invigorating dash of self-irony. And then also reading that today reminded me of Prince Harry doing his little skit on video and representing all of the underrepresented gingers. My daughter is a ginger, so she very proudly points to her hair now and calls it ginger. So I'm doing my bit there, Prince Harry.
She should. My mother's got red hair as well. So solidarity.
Another tremendous redhead, Fergie, Sarah Ferguson. She was on Loose Women this week. So helping launch a very important campaign about not skipping your mammogram appointments. She was talking about having had no symptoms for her breast cancer and it only being caught through the mammogram appointment. So do, ladies, keep those appointments if you are offered them, or maybe book one if you're somewhere where they don't get automatically offered to you. So that's those bits. Back to the King's speech yesterday. Lovely way to finish the day. You've had a big day out in town. Pop to the ballet in the evening for a little show.
Yes. Well, you're a lot more cultured than me because you knew the pronunciation of
what they went to. Don Quixote.
There you go. I was getting myself into sixes and sevens. Right. Well, hopefully, yeah. But it was, nice. I mean, their schedule is pretty relentless at the moment. I mean, it's something that they're trying to keep up with. I think trying to really keep the pressure on themselves almost to go into the Christmas period. There's obviously going to be a lot going on up to that. You'll bring you back to what's happening in Ukraine. Of course, the royal family have had huge support there. No doubt, watch this space for the support that the King is going to be giving the Israeli community, especially, I think, because you're talking about labelling the attacks as terrorism, as is widely accepted in Israel. And certainly, I think he thinks that community needs special attention. So in leading up to the Christmas period, it will be very interesting to see where he takes that. And again, we've got Remembrance Sunday coming up. Certainly, there will be the usual events and engagements surrounding the remembrance period for the royal family. No doubt the Queen will be at Westminster Abbey. And then you've got the King leading proceedings on Sunday. Where does it leave the other members? I mean, we've had William in Singapore this week. There's been an awful lot of things going on in the world. And it kind of felt a bit, not flat, because I did like what William was saying in a lot of the speeches. Certainly climate crisis is big on the royal family's agenda. In his major speech, I suppose, for the Earthshot Awards, he said that the climate crisis has become too visible to be ignored. And he spoke about the sort of exuberance and power of community with the winners, and how this could be the generation to change things for the better. And this is definitely things we're hearing from him and his father, and Charles's father as well, sort of passing it down the generations. But we really haven't seen too much of what the agenda will be like in a post Queen Elizabeth age for the Waleses. So I definitely think next year will be big in terms of royal tours, bigger projects. Certainly the Earthshot Prize is going from strength to strength. And overall, quite successful, even though it probably didn't get the airtime it deserved on such a busy period, such as state opening of Parliament, Kenya tour, and then, of course, the conflicts I mentioned.
I mean, to a certain extent, maybe it doesn't matter too much about the media coverage of the event itself, because they are giving a load of money to these projects to boost the projects anyway. And that's where the impact can come, like it's actual practical change. And we also had a message a couple of weeks ago from Martha Zola, which I saved up when we were talking about Earthshot again. So she said, "What I love about Earthshot is that it's positive and forward looking. It's not this doom and gloom. The end of the world, it's coming. It's what are the solutions and how can we out in the world fix it?" So I think that is a positive thing. It is trying to drive people to act and take change. And some interesting projects that were the winners this year around better batteries for electric vehicles and being able to recycle them. I thought that was really interesting. And solar powered machines helping rural Indian farmers extend the life of crops that would otherwise go to waste. They were two that really caught my eye and I thought were interesting. And I think it is sometimes like a slow burn. So I know that I noticed Nonpla, I think it's called, I don't know. Definitely don't know how to say that one. I noticed that in more places now. And I know, fine, I'm not your average bear because I present a royal podcast, so I'm vaguely more aware of that Earthshot stuff. But maybe that does mean that it has filtered out into the world and is being used more, which would obviously be a good thing. Two very important bits of information that came out of Earthshot. Louis apparently likes One Republic, who are the band that were playing there.
I didn't know they were still going.
I'll be honest, I'm not sure who. I would probably recognise their music if I heard it, but I couldn't tell you.
Apologise. I think they did that song with, who is it, Timberland? I don't know.
I'm better off with the ballet. Very good. Get the karaoke going.
Get the karaoke machine out.
Prince George is an AC/DC fan.
Good Lord.
Apparently.
To be fair, I was listening to Van Halen with my daughter this morning, listening to Jump, trying to get her in because she's very into Queen and David Bowie. So I'm trying to mix it up with a bit of glam rock. It's glam rock, isn't it? Yeah. So the producer Dan is just messaging us, "Oh Lord, please don't try pop culture. Move along." So
move along.
Apologies to the listeners.
Let's move swiftly onward to, well, actually, sticking with pop culture, we should go talk about a Katy Perry gig.
I'm a big fan of Katy Perry, by the way.
Big fan. Would you get a private jet to go see her?
Well, I would have had the money, but you know, I wouldn't like it ruining my environmental credentials, so I don't fly private jets, as you well know.
Just with the King.
Exactly.
Bit different. So yeah, so Meghan and Harry, it's something that's been levelled at them reasonably frequently that they are not averse to getting a private jet here and there. And I also caught my eye, she's wearing a very, very smart sparkly frock from Maison Valentino, apparently, which is multiple $1,000s. So it's always interesting. She's not a high street lady, but that's fine. If you've got money to spend on nice things, why not spend it on nice things?
Listen, I mean, they're damned if they do, damned if they don't, aren't they? I mean, they're boarding a plane with Cameron Diaz, her husband, Benji Madden, Zoe Saldana. I mean, they're hobnobbing with the real celebs, aren't they? And if you can go and see a Katy Perry concert in Las Vegas, I mean, you're not going to turn that down, are you? But didn't Katy Perry didn't she say she was Team William and Kate or something? I remember this a while ago. So yeah, maybe they put their differences aside and they were supporting her. But the one thing that did strike me from this week was a couple of stories which have conflicted with each other, because in one of the Sunday papers, there's a story about Harry had not been invited to the King's 75th birthday in just a few days. He is going to turn 75, going to be a big party at Clarence House privately. And Harry had not got the call, or certainly, no, he had got the call, but he'd snubbed it and he wasn't going to turn up. And then a few days later, his people have come out fighting and told another online publication that he wasn't even invited. So there'd been no correspondence, which pretty much tallies to what I've been told for many weeks and months, is that the king and him have had literally no contact whatsoever. And I think that that tells you the state of their relationship. And one would have thought perhaps by now it would have, you know, repaired a little bit, but I think it's still pretty dire, isn't it?
And it's really sad. I mean, this sad is always the word that I come back to really when talking about this, because it's ultimately a family that aren't talking to each other, and talking about, you know, we're talking about the United Kingdom community of communities, more that unites us than divides us. You know, they probably need to have a little look at that and have a look at themselves maybe, and how you fix that. And, you know, Charles he's, you know, a fit and well man with a busy life, but he is also about to turn 75, and you do never know what is around the corner. So it's better to fix things while you can. That's my motto, probably, generally. What do we have to look forward to, Russell? Do we know, is there anything that will be different, particularly about the remembrance events that happen this weekend?
Not that I'm aware of. Certainly, I do. As I said, I think you'll see all major members of the royal family. I mentioned we'll see the Queen at Westminster Abbey. That has normally been a fixture of going to the field of remembrance. So that will certainly kick off the royal family's remembrance service program. The King obviously will lead tributes. Always cemented in the late Queen's diary. I've absolutely no doubt that that will be a feature for the King and the other senior members of the family. But I definitely do think there'll be a pickup towards the end of the year. And it's definitely been quite an exciting period, I think, moving on from state opening parliament and the Kenya trip. I do think there's a bit of a spring in his step for the King, and I suppose hopefully that will trickle down to the other members of the family.
So one big event that is coming up, and this is where producer Dan, who is also Cornish like me, may get a little bit of a shock, is that on December the 7th there will be a major auction of some Princess Diana related dresses in Lanna, which is basically a little village which I think I sometimes go to get pasties. It's a couple of really quite iconic dresses. They're not the actual dresses that she wore, but the designer who made them always made a twin of them, exactly the same, for his archive, which is probably quite a smart move. So it's Jacques Azaguri, and it's that, I think it's called the Swan Lake dress, the little blue one that was sparkly, that was her last official visit before she died, where she looked particularly glamorous. But he talked about her coming to the studio, and he said her visits were very relaxed. She loved chatting to the girls here. She didn't ask me to design specific dresses for her. She knew that she could come here and find something she'd love, and that we could adapt it and create a unique dress for whatever occasion she needed. Each dress that I made for Diana was special for me, and I've had great joy from these dresses for over 20 years. But now that I'm retiring, I would like that joy to pass to someone else, and it can continue to be shared. So that will be interesting to see what happens there. And a few breaking news, dresses pulled by single buyer. What, they've gone and bought them all? Wow, private buyer. So you're too late, everybody. Thanks for Dan for the breaking news.
This is interesting. Where do you keep these stuff? Or do you then just give them back to a museum? I suppose if you're wealthy, you'd give them back to a museum so everybody can enjoy them.
Perhaps. We do have a couple of archive episodes talking about Diana's fashion at a couple of exhibitions that I went to with our friend Amber Grafland. We got to go see Diana's wedding dress a couple of years ago, and we saw some of her classic dresses, including the John Travolta dress, I think. So do dig those out in the archives. And sorry that you're not going to be able to get the ones that Jacques Azaguri had put on sale. But there we go. Russell, it's been a delight to catch up with you. I'm glad you had such a lovely time in Kenya with Ian Vogler. I look forward to you going on your next visit with him as well, because I very much enjoy
Can I give a shout out, actually? Because at in probably about a couple of hours, Mr. Vogler and I did a video diary from Kenya, and it's going to be live on our Instagram Put our social media and our YouTube channels and the Daily Mirror. So check that out if you want to know sort of a behind the scenes of what we got up to in Kenya. And if you like it, it's something that we're going to do a lot more of, possibly around the UK, but certainly when we go on foreign tours. So so give us your comments.
More Russell Myers. That's what we definitely need.
Absolutely. More... less of that. Yeah.
And we should also say, if you do want more Russell Myers, you should also sign up for the Mirror's Royal newsletter for a daily roundup of headlines, and then once a week a special email straight to your inbox from Russell. So
what's not to love,
so many ways to enjoy Russell Myers in your life. I've enjoyed Russell Myers in my life for the last half hour or so, and I look forward to catching up with you again very soon, Russ. Listeners, thank you for joining us today, and until next time,
Pod Save the King.